And I'm going to give what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. You know, in the Bible, there's doctrinal sermons, evangelistic sermons, prophetic sermons, all kind of sermons. But these sermons are warning in this Bible.
You're right.
I don't know how he's going to bring this out tonight, but I know he's going to put a warning on all of our hearts. From Proverbs 24, and we'll start reading with verse 30. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now I want to preach for a little while tonight about a slothful Christian. As far as I know, the fella in this text had never been a thief. He had never been a meddler in somebody else's business. In fact, he didn't have time to take care of his own business. And he went to sleep, and the thorns and nettles covered his field. The wall was broken down. And he came to ruin. And I believe he's the picture of men and women who have been saved, and yet they neglect their prayer life and their devotional life, and the thorns of this life and the care of this life grows up, dear neighbor, within them, and they lose all their power with God and all the joy of salvation. And I want to use this slothful man tonight as a picture of every child of God and give you tonight what the Lord has shared with me. Now notice what was broken down, verse 31. The Bible said the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now in the east, they had built a wall around the vineyard to keep the little foxes out and the animals out and to keep the land from washing. But here's a man that went to sleep, and the land was washing and the vineyard was growing up with briars and thorns, and he just slept on. And on and on. And the wild man said, I went by and saw this, and I considered it well. I took instruction from the man that had let the thorns and briars grow up in his vineyard. And dear neighbor, sad to say, a lot of God's children have neglected their salvation, and they went to sleep on the Lord. And a lot of weeds and the briars are in their life tonight. And the power they could have had with God, they don't have it tonight. And this ought not to ever be. Now I want you to notice the fence was down. And in a lot of life, the fence of devotion is broken down. Used to be a time in your life when you got up in the morning, you had a little time for the Lord. You had time to pray, and you had time to read the Word of God and to have fellowship with God. But you got so busy with the affairs of this life and the things of this life. That's how you go out in the world without that devotion and that communion, dear neighbor. And that's always a dangerous thing to do. Every morning before you go into the world, you ought to meet with God. You ought to lock your heart up with God and give Him the key. And if you don't, dear neighbor, then the thorns and the briars will get in your lap. And a lot of people have went to sleep and let their life get grown up with briars and thorns.
That's right, preacher.
Now, we ought to be devoted to the Savior. I remember when I got saved nearly a half a century ago. And I used to go in that little old church where my mother attended. With all the fears and doubts in my heart, not of salvation, but which way my life ought to go, whether I ought to be a preacher, what I ought to do. And I'd sit there, and while the men of God preached, I could feel God raising up in my heart with His great love and with His tender mercy. I was devoted to the Savior. He was first, dear neighbor. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to give God our heart every day. Christianity is not a one-time deal, but it's a lifetime deal. Where you surrender over and over and over and over again, and we ought to be devoted to the Savior. We ought to meet with Him every day. Somebody said when Joe Parson died that there was not a morning in 40 years that Joe Parson didn't meet God. Said no matter how late it was when he got in the bed. I mean, off in a revival, off in a meeting, and he'd come in late. But they said, there's never a morning in 40 years that Joe Parson didn't meet God before the sun come up. And I want to tell you something. I found out by experience, it's a whole lot easier to pray at the midnight than it is any other time. Sure, God works through people and so does the devil. When unregenerate men go to sleep, the devil can't be as active. And the devil can't work like he does, dear neighbor, when they're alive and active and well and awake. And when they go to sleep, it's a whole lot easier to pray than it is while they're awake. I want to tell this for the glory of God. I started a church at Gainesville, and I stayed at that church 30 years in a mile and a half where I was born. I pastored for 30 years. And when we first started that church, there wasn't no money, and my wife Catherine had to work some in the mill. We was raised in the cotton mill village. There's been a lot of nights I've let Catherine out at the mill. And in the morning, 8 hours later, I'd go to the church. And in the morning, when she got off from her shift, I'd leave the church and go by and pick her up. And my brother told me, and Brother Gilmer knows this is the truth, said, Ed, I counted 75 straight Sundays where somebody was going down that aisle to God. And oh, the secret of all this is not how much talent we've got, how much ability we've got, or how well we can do it. God's got to do it through us, dear neighbor. And we got to be yielded and surrendered and totally give to Him whatever you desire. And let the fountain of devotion get broke down. They're not devoted to the Savior anymore. And then they're not devoted to His service. The service of the Lord. I've averaged preaching one time a day for the last 33 years. And I can say that I've got awful tired in the way, but I've never got tired of the way. One time a day for the last 33 years I've preached. And it's just as real tonight and just as fresh tonight. And just as precious tonight as when a little skinny 125-pound boy stood up and preached many, many years ago. I used to have so much strength in my body that I preached and the water would puddle up at my feet down in the floor. Dear neighbor, I love it tonight as much as I did then. And I love the Word of God. God, to watch you pray. They've got to let your fist get broken. broke down. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the fence of devotion is down in a lot of lives. They don't have time to pray. And they don't have time for the Lord's will to be devoted to the Savior and to His service and the soul that are dying and going to hell. Oh, all around us is men and women that'll soon be in hell. And I know we can't save them, but I know God don't save them without the church. I know that God uses men and women to get other men and women saved. And the soul are dying. And the men are going to hell. And we're so wrapped up in the affairs of this life. And we don't really have a burden. The fence is down, dear neighbor. And our life is grown up with everything but what it ought to be grown up with. I want to tell you something. I was in Atlanta preaching. And I went in on Monday night. I go on Sunday now, but when I pastored, I'd go Monday. And the preacher said, last night, a junior boy got saved, and nobody wanted to go home. Everybody just stayed around the church. Seemed like 15, 20 minutes. And I heard a thud in front of the church, a scream in front of the church. And Brother Blibbins said, ran out of the church and had two flights of steps down from Cherokee Avenue Church. And he said, I ran down the steps. And there lay that little junior boy who had just made a profession in the church, laying up on the curb, all crumbled up on the curb. And Brother Blevins said, I sat down by him, put his head up in my lap, and blood was coming out of his mouth, out of his nose. I knew he was dying. And I said, Jimmy, Tommy, whatever his name was, I forgot, it's been a long time. You said you got saved a while ago, son. Did you really get saved? And he said, his little lips quivered, and the last words he ever uttered on there. He said, preacher, the Lord saved me. And I want to tell you, somebody prayed for me. Somebody loved me. Somebody cared about my soul before I ever got saved. And I want to care about your children. And I want to care about your grandchildren. Yes. Oh, I want a burden about men and women that are dying and are going to hell, dear neighbor. We've let that fierce and depression break down. And our life is grown up with weeds and briars, and that ought to be. You could put your little boy on the scales and put your whole world on the other side of the scales. And the Lord said, he'd outweigh the whole world. He'd outweigh the whole world. And oh, God help us. God help. And I know I'm not your pastor, and I don't want to assert no authority of the pastor, but I got to preach what God showed me in this Bible. And I'm telling you, the fence is down in a lot of life. No more devotion. We ain't got time. We're too busy with the world. And the fence of devotion down. And then the fence of doctrine is down in a lot of churches and in a lot of life. Amen. I mean, somebody said, well, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I want to believe, and we'll go the same way. Not so. It don't matter what I believe. It don't matter what you believe. It matters what the Word of God said. Amen. It matters what the Word of God said. We're living in a day when the sound doctrine has been thrown out of the church, dear neighbor. And we do anything to get them in now and shout another no. Let me tell you, regeneration is sound doctrine. The old timers call it conviction. It's when God makes a dead sinner alive, for he can repent. This generation has been brainwashed with this easy believing that you can get saved anytime you take a notion. There ain't a lick of truth in that. There ain't a lick of truth in that. The Holy Ghost has got to regenerate a dead man or a woman. Then they can repent, and then they can believe, and then they can get saved. And you don't hear much about the work of the Holy Ghost anymore. And with that, you're never, men will go to hell, and men will be lost. Regeneration is sound doctrine. Repentance is sound doctrine. That means when you turn even against your own self. It's been a long time. But I remember when he shut me up under that law for about a week. And I quit everything I'd ever done. And everything I was going to ever do. I mean, I was seeking God with all my heart. I didn't know how to find him. I was blind. And they tried to get me to make a profession, but I done that when I was a little old boy. And I didn't want to go through that no more. And what a miserable week it was. Oh, I wanted to go to sleep when I was awake. I was so miserable. And when I got to sleep, I didn't want to wake up. I was miserable. I could hear the drum, the judgment beating in my mind. Oh, I'm lost. It's awful to really get lost, dear neighbor. But on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, 1951, I worked in a mill. I'd worked all night, and I come home. And you talk about a man beat in the game of life. I was beat. I was in terrible shape. And Captain and I had three little rooms. A front room, a kitchen, and I slept upstairs after working all night in a little car. And I remember going up to that bed on Saturday morning, 1951, Saturday before Easter. And I lay in the bed, weeping. And downstairs, the sovereign God got hold of my wife's fingers. And she turned on the radio. And a man was preaching how they nailed him on Calvary. And he was preaching so vivid and so real. I thought I could hear the blood running out of his body that morning as he preached. And laying there in that bed, he come to me. The scales went off my eyes. And the darkness and blindness went away from my mind. And there he was. I was there with him, dear neighbor, saved. And I got up out of the bed. And my mother lived next door, who had been praying for a wayward boy. I mean, addicted to gambling and everything. And I went out to her house. And I said, Mama, I just want to go got saved. And I can almost see her tonight as she rejoiced. And then I went down the street and everybody I saw. I'd been gambling with Lester Kinnemer and we'd had a falling out. And I went to his house and knocked on the door. And his wife, Monty, come to the door. And I said, I want to see Lester. She said he'd gone to gamble. And I said, tell him when he gets back that I got saved a while ago. And I'm going to go to church in the morning. I want him to go to church. Oh, what a blessed life it's been. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I got saved. I passed from death unto life. God dropped my sin in the sea of forgiveness and moved them as far as the east and from the west. And God blotted them out. And I've been saved ever since. And ain't nothing the devil can do about it. I'm saved by the grace of God. The fence of doctrine down. The fence of devotion down. Heavy shell, ma'am. I know how it feels. Yes! I love it. I love it. God help this deadhead. What's a dead to say, man? I can go to the left and the Lord will be praised. God, and the shout of victory forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. Oh, Jason. I've read about it in books, but I've never seen it. And I was down here in New Orleans, below New Orleans, preaching. And this started. If I dropped dead in the morning at daylight, it was still going all night long. About 4 o'clock in the morning, the butcher said, "Is this real? What's going on?" I said, "Well, you live among them. I don't. You know them better than I do." Boy, if God ever will, and the Holy Ghost come in there again. And man, we shouted it all night long.
Amen.
At daylight, I had to turn them loose so they could go to work. Worked on them oil rigs out there in the ocean. And I went over and laid down with the bed. And I got about half asleep. Here come that old butcher. He said, "Hey, I want what they had on you guys." Son, that's what I don't care about this dead stuff. I like it real. I like it real. Amen. Yes. There it's a God. Boy, if you can shout on this, shout your windows out, amen. Shout it out. Her fence ain't down, buddy. That's she got her fence up. Amen. Have you seen my grandmother do that? Yes! Boy, that don't scare me. It scares me when a little of that don't go on. Amen. Yeah. It's the devotion down. It's the doctrine down. The fence of dedication down in a lot of lives. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong no more. I drove down at Winston-Salem preaching at 700 in Sunday school. Bless God, he said to me before I went in there, I said, "I don't preach on no smoking around here." Said, "I had John R. Rice down here. Said, we had a war. Don't be preaching on that." But about Tuesday night, I was ripping away. And I said, "Hey, all you folk puffing them weeds ought to find out what's in the sucker zone." Man, he got mad. I nearly had to leave running. But when you get dedicated to God, smoke ain't running out your nose like you're an old wagon. Amen. 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 I mean, give it all to God. Let God honor of God. Look here. In that Old Testament, God wouldn't even let them build no steps up to the altar. That priest wore them long robes, but God was afraid that they'd see his nakedness, and they wouldn't let him walk up no steps to get up out of that altar. And now we got these hussies. They go naked half of the week. And then they run up in the choir and sing how they love Jesus. Well, I love Jesus. You love a flesh, amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to, son. I've been at the Lord. I'm going to preach if he'll let me preach. I'm going to preach if he'll let me preach. Dedication. Go on. And I'm going to tell you something that's terrible. These women with these skirts split up to their straddle. That's worse than them britches to me. That's the most suggested thing I ever seen in my life. You ought to dress like a Christian. Amen. These old long-haired preachers. Lord God, I'd rather be a Q-Cluck. In fact, if I could find them, I might join them anyway, the way this world is. Amen. Amen. was in a good meeting with them long hair. Everybody got to shouting like we're going tonight. And one of them made a beeline to me. I said, wait a minute, bud, I done got a wife. You want to look like a woman, you may be thinking like a woman. Keep your hands off of me, amen. I believe a man ought to get his hair cut. I believe a woman ought to dress right, amen. I believe you're going to serve God. You ought to look like a Christian, amen. Oh, I tell you, this is like a camp meeting over at Taylorville. I like it. Some of these churches are like a funeral parlor. They're like an igloo. Got a bunch of little Eskimos sitting out there.
Praise. Yeah, praise.
Just keep on praying, man, shouting. Let's get them going to get turned loose here, man. Forgetting about how old I am. That's your wife? You're a blessed man. It's the kind of woman you need to raise your kids. Amen. Boy, if I was young and I were hunting a wife, I'd go to an old fashioned church. Help yourself. Just got to in no hurry, are we? I'll run the wash back out there if I need to. But a man said every night when I come home, my little old girl would run and jump up in my arm and tell me what a good daddy I was. Best daddy in all the world. She said one night I come home and she started and I put my hands on her beads and I said, June, how won't you be? And she said, Daddy, where you want with them? And they said, honey, we're going to sit in a big chair. Daddy's going to pitch them in the fire. And we're going to watch them burn. And he said, I felt her pull back. I touched something she didn't want to turn loose. Felt her pull back. That night's a table. She was different. And when it come time to go to bed, she didn't come for me to read like she usually did. She went off to bed. And he said it went on 2-3 days. Then one night I come in and she come running crying and jumped up in my arm and she had them beads in her hand. And she said, Daddy, these beads have come between you and I. And if you want them, here they are. And he said, I took her and sat in the chair and pitched them in the fire and watched the tears come out of her eyes as they burn. And then I reached in my pocket and got that necklace, put it around her neck. She said, oh, Daddy, that's the prettiest necklace I ever saw. Where did you get it and when did you get it? At June, I had it the other night when I tried to get them old ugly beads off of you. I didn't want to take them away from you. I wanted you to give them to me because you love me. I'd have put it on you then if you'd have given me the beads. I didn't want to have to make you. And a lot of us are holding on to our dime store beads. When the Lord wants to hang a necklace of grace around our neck, that'll outshine the sun, amen. Glory to God, I'm glad my fence is up, amen. I'm glad that all the rails are in place. I'm glad that the land I'm washing away and the tears went down in a little while. And the dedication is wrong. And we wonder why we can't get a blessing when we go to the house of God. Got to get your fence up, amen. Got to get your fence up. Well, bless God, if I'm going to preach myself to death, the night's a good night. When it was down, I mean, water down the fence. Now, when it was down, while he slept, amen, it went down while he slept. The land was washing away, and the brass and the thorns was covering the vineyard, and he slept on. And the wild men said, I looked at that, and I considered it well. And we'd better look at people that used to walk with God and used to be on fire for God. And the natural life's all grown up with weeds and briars. And we better do like a wild man. We better consider that. Amen. It could be us.
Amen. Amen.
There ain't none of us out of the reach of the devil yet. It's better men than me that went down. They ladies just as pure as you are that went down. None of us are any match for the devil in the flesh. We get to fence down, and he'll make an onslaught into our life. That's sleeping, boy, that's sleeping. It damn. Let me tell you. It ain't young preachers that fall, usually. It ain't old preachers. But the psalmist talked about the destruction at noonday. Right in the middle of life, young men, you'll fight the hardest battle you've ever fought. I mean, old men usually go to sleep. They get tired of the battle and tired of the struggle, and they go to sleep. But boy, from 45 to 60, you'll battle like you ain't never battled in all your life with that flesh. You better lay back some reserves you can draw on, because you're going to need them, dear brother, down the road. Now look here. Sleeping is when discord comes. Have you ever tried to wake up a real sleepy man? If there's any devil in him, it'll come out. But if he's sleeping, you go to fool with him. Church trouble don't come from revived people and people in love with God. And when they go to sleep and you go to gabbing at them, if there's any devil in them, it'll come up, dear neighbor. It'll come up. And church trouble comes when men go to sleep. It brings discord. And then it's so dangerous. I want to tell you something. I live 60 miles from Toccoa, Georgia, Tallulah Bible Institute, an old school there where preachers have went for years and years and years. And about 7, 8, 10 years ago, the groundkeeper said to the authorities of the school, "Hey, the dam is bulging. It'd been raining about 2 weeks. The dam is cracking and straining. Reckon there's any danger of that dam breaking?" And the authorities said to him, "That dam's been there for years and years and years. You don't have to worry about that dam. It's all right. It's all right. It stood bigger on slots than it." And that night they went to sleep. And 29 young men and women never did wake up. 3 of the faculty of that staff at that school never did know when the dam broke. It went rushing down into that valley at Chicoa. And they were drowned in their sleep. They were drowned in their sleep. And oh, how dangerous it is to go to sleep on the Lord. How dangerous it is. It not only brings discord, but it's dangerous, dear neighbor, to go to sleep on God. You don't know when or where it may happen to a backslid child of God. In the last month, you know, a preacher I preached with 40 years, bloated brains out. In the last month, L.B. Jackson, one of my best friends at Carolina, his wife went in the closet, left a note, said, "I'm tired of all of it," and blowed her brains out against the wall. And they demons working, it ain't worked since the flood. You better believe that. And they're bidding for the minds of God's children. Boy, I don't want to go to sleep. If you see me getting dozy, Lord God, get a pen and guide me. Wake me up. I want to be wide awake when He comes. Brother, I'm 71, and I believe with all my heart I may hear the trumpet sound. I believe we're that close. I believe we're close. And when he shouts for his children to come up, I want to shout back. Amen. Say, Lord, I've been waiting a long time. I've been waiting a long time. Here I come, Lord. Oh, it's danger. Let me tell you this. I'm going to make my last point. When I was a little boy, and Gilmer will remember this, we had a man on the street named Reggie Croy, and he got addicted to drinking. He stayed drunk all the time. Well, he come up missing in the wintertime. They couldn't find him. He'd gone 2-3 days. They couldn't find him. And it come a big snow, and they found him over in the pasture. Snow had covered him up, and he was near death, nearly froze to death. And you know, a man that freezes to death always gets warm before he dies. And they tried to wake Crazy up. And he said, "Leave me alone. I'm so sleepy, leave me alone." And you know, a lot of God's children, you can preach to them with love in your heart and concern. You want to see them do their best for the Lord. And cause you try to wake them up, they kind of get mad at you. That ought not be. I probably won't ever see you no more at a Wednesday night. But I've got only one desire, one reason for being here, and that's to try to help you. Oh, how dangerous it is to go to sleep. We're living in a generation that went to sleep on God. You better believe that. And you go to gouging at them and trying to wake them up. Sometimes they get mad. Sometimes they get unhappy. But bless God, they'll just have to gnash their teeth. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on preaching. And it's been your grandpa to sleep. Listen, the average American citizen watches that TV 28 hours a week. And that's the biggest tool the devil has.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
It'll put you to sleep.
Amen.
Watching old Orphy and Lizzie and Sally and Lucy. The rest of that bunch of whores.
That's right.
You ain't a kidding, that's right.
Amen.
That's junk. Even the Congress said that's junk.
Amen.
He'd be better off to give you a rattlesnake.
Amen.
And we'll sleep. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to finish this up here now. That wise man said, I went down the road, and over there was a vineyard growed up with briars and thorns. The terraces had washed away, and the land had washed away, and he just slept right on. And he said, I took notice of that. I received instruction from that. And you've seen enough people that used to walk with God that went to sleep, that it ought to shake you and I up, and we ought to take notice of it. I'm going to tell you something, then I'm going to quit. The man who was preaching when I got saved ran off with his secretary. Well, God put me on that same radio station in Atlanta. I was listening to that when I got saved. God give me that good church. God sent me out in meetings. And one day he called me. I used to catch a Greyhound bus to go to a meeting. No way back. I lost my job. They fired me. I had to have a word of God. Boy, I went out hungry. And I'd catch a bus and hitchhike back. And when I got back, too late to go to work, and they fired me. But he called me one day and said, I got to talk with you. And And I said, all right, come on to Gainesville. And I met him at a restaurant. And we sat across the table. And he said, I had an old card in the room. And said, many nights, I prayed all night. And I believe it. He was the most powerful preacher. He preached with a burden. Most powerful preacher. I saw him one night under a tent. And it was storming. And I seen him bow his head and say to God, the people are frightened, and the meeting's being hindered. Lord, would you stop a rain? And I seen God cut off a rain, like you'd have cut off a spigot. A mighty, mighty man of God, the most powerful preacher I ever heard. And he sat across the table from me and said, God told me to come up here and warn you that what happened to me will happen to you if you don't stay on your guard. I used to preach on the radio like you do. I used to have a church like you have. I used to go in revival like you do. But now, nobody wants me. Nobody wants to listen at me. And God told me to come up here and tell you that the devil's going to make a bid for you. And he sits there, and I'm not exaggerating. Brother Joel, I'm not exaggerating. Brother Merck. Tears ran down his face and dripped off on the table where we're sitting. And he said, I throwed it all away. I throwed it all away. I went to sleep. I throwed it all away. And may the Lord see at the end. It ain't going to end in no revival like these charismatics are saying. 10 virgins and they are all asleep. The wise went to sleep with the foolish. They were all asleep when he got. It ain't going to end in a great move like your God is going to get worse and worse and be like it was in the days of Noah.
Yes, sir.
Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And knew not till a flood come and took them all away. And you don't know me tonight. And I don't know you. But if he was to come tonight, there ain't nothing in my way. Ain't nothing in my way. When you give him all you got, there ain't nothing left to worry about. Whatever you lay in the bed and worry about at night, and what you never have surrendered to. And when you lay it down there, Lord, I can't go no further now. I've wandered far enough. That'll be the most blessed life you've ever lived. You know, the miserablest man in this town tonight ain't no drunkard. And the miserablest woman in this town ain't no streetwalker. Somebody that knows God, yet they broke their vows. And they're like Lot. They're vexing or tormenting their soul every day with the unlawful deeds of the... I know! Boy, I want to be on fire for God. Amen. I want to be looking for Him when He comes. Bless God. Ain't going to be long till that crooked arm's going to be straight. There's going to be some hair on your head, amen. And them shingles been gone out of your face. We're going to. Bless God, I can run around this. Yes, sir. Thank God. Is your fence down? You better look at people who've let the fence get down and take a warning for that. Unless they come to you. Come on down here, ma'am, to play, will you? You're the song leader. You're leading the song. What are we going to sing?